thing, kind of demonstration, where Mr. Richard Quigley, who is playing the role of a sleeping band protester, and I am playing the role of a police officer here in a fantasy about how to deal with this new provision, take me to a magistrate, which is not yet in place in terms of the actual processes, but which has legally been, should we say, required to be in place for a quarter century. Is that accurate, Richard?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna let's carry this out. We're almost kind of reached the ultimate.
Well, I'm long since got my hands in the air hollering, "Don't shoot!" But I'm playing it your way just because you want some sort of response.
Right, and I think the kinds of things you're saying are helpful to people out there to understand that they could model and do the same kind of thing.
Yeah, Article 1, Section 1 of the California Constitution makes you a free and natural person. You're not chattel, and you're not otherwise in the government's charge. You have the right to go about your business as long as you're not disturbing anybody else. Just, you know, and I mean legitimately disturbing. I'm not talking about somebody looking across the room, see me smoking a cigarette, start coughing and hacking. I'm talking about blowing smoke in their face. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as you're not legitimately involved in disturbing anybody else's rights, there's no reason for anybody, no authority for anybody to mess with you.
I think you put it very well. Let's kind of go through the final part of this conversation. Again, I'm the sergeant. I'm Sergeant Baker. Let's say you are who you are. And
sure.
Can we continue? I'll show you how I will kind of proceed with this.
Well, sure. Go ahead.
So it sounds to me like Mr. Quigley, and you don't have to answer any questions, of course, because you are you're not under arrest. I'm just telling you, if you don't sign this citation, you will be have. To, I unfortunately will have to take you into custody.
Well, and on what charge?
Well, I would say interfering with an officer, probably. Certainly, you're probably interfering with an officer, yeah.
No, that interfering with an officer has to do with interfering with an officer in the performance of their lawful duties. You consider this a lawful duty.
My duty is to give you a citation for sleeping in a public place in violation of Municipal Code 6.36.010A.
You believe that's your duty.
It is my...
That is your lawful duty.
It is what my lieutenant has instructed me to do. It is what the Santa Cruz City Code says. And frankly, you guys are out here and you know damn well that's exactly what's going to happen. So.
And I'm wondering, by what authority are you disregarding my instructions for you to get your supervisor here?
Well, I'd like to get my supervisor here, but frankly, she's busy and we have got other things we need to do.
We discussed that. We can take this up again when your supervisor is present. I believe you're in over your head. I think you're right at the edge. You're not only violating my rights, but violating the law that says you can't violate my rights.
Well,
I need to get your supervisor here, or go away and leave me alone, or do whatever you're going to do, and then we'll deal with that in the court.
Okay, but let me make this perfectly clear to you, Mr. Quigley. I would prefer not to do this, but I will be charging you with the misdemeanor of obstructing an officer in the performance of his lawful duties if you do not sit up and sign this citation that says... You know, you simply agree to appear in court. You don't admit guilt. All you're saying is that you will be present at a court date to be determined in the next 30 days to answer the charge that you're violating the Santa Cruz City sleeping ban. There's nothing unreasonable about that. This is not a personal matter between you and me. I'm just doing my job.
So you can know, you officer, I would have heard every word that you said, but as you noticed, I had my fingers in my ears doing la, 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 and that's the way it's going to be until your supervisor gets here. You got that?
Mr. Quigley, while I appreciate your musical talents, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to stand up and put your hands behind your back.
And you're, for what reason?
Well, because you're refusing to, you're obstructing an officer in the performance of his duties, and you're refusing to sign a ticket that essentially would...
I've never refused to do anything. I've said that before. You're the one that's refusing. You're refusing to get your sergeant.
I ask you one more time, will you sign this ticket? I've been asking you for the last 10 minutes.
No, I've been asking me. You've been threatening me for the last 10 minutes. You can threaten me for another 10 minutes, and the story's not going to change. You need to get your supervisor out here so we can quit dealing with these threats, or you shut up and go away.
Well, frankly, I got to tell you, you're saying to me you seem to have no intention of signing this ticket, and I'll put it this way. I'll wait for another minute and a half, but if you don't sign it in that period of time, I believe in this is... Mr. Quigley... Well, I must say, put your hands against the wall. Mr. Quigley...
Don't shoot! You got it?
Take them down, boys.
You got it?
Mr. Quigley, now...
Anything that they do to you from that position, they can be held liable for in court.
I see. Okay, well, that is
and
pretty...
And the recorder is running the whole time, and you have repeatedly reminded him you're not refusing to do a damn thing. He's refusing not to threaten you. He's refusing not to violate your constitutional rights.
Wow.
Given the nature of the situation, man, when the supervisor shows up, do you know what I ask him to do?
Go ahead. Oh, I'm the supervisor. Mr. Quigley, you know, you've been making quite a bit of trouble here.
No, not at all, but I'm sure glad you arrived. I would like you to place this officer here under arrest.
Oh, well, I'm afraid I can't do that.
Citizen's arrest. I'd like you to take him into custody. He is standing here threatening me, which is a violation of my constitutional rights. He's bothering me, which is a violation of my constitutional rights. He's refusing to call you to the scene, refusing to get an attorney, refusing to get me to a magistrate, which are violations of my constitutional rights. That is a crime in the state of California. I'm placing him under citizen's arrest, and I'd like you to take him in your custody.
Mr. Quigley, all you have to do is sign this ticket, and we can all go home, you know.
Wait a minute. Are you going to start threatening me now?
I'm not threatening you. I'm just saying
What do you want me to sign this criminal complaint for?
Well, you're sleeping outside in violation of the law, Mr. Quigley. All we want you to do is deal with it in court. We're just here because they called us on a complaint. We're not here because we don't like you. We're not here because we think the sleeping ban is a good thing. We're only here because we're doing our job.
And your job is to go out and violate the rights of the people in this county.
I don't think that by bringing this ticket to you is a violation of your rights. You can answer it in court.
Are you a lawyer?
No, Mr. Quigley, I'm not a lawyer.
Well, if you're not a lawyer, then it would seem to me that you're interpreting law and issuing legal opinions, and doesn't a lawyer have to be involved in that kind of thing? Why would you be doing that?
Mr.
Some
Quigley,
lawyer instructed you as to what the law is in this regard?
Mr. Quigley, I can't advise
you. By the way, I advise you, officer, that what you say can be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to remain silent. If you choose not to remain silent, what you say can and will be used against you in a court of law.
Mr. Quigley, it seems like you're creating a much greater problem than needs to exist here. This is a simple infraction citation involving at most a $54 fine.
Is it against the law in this county to demand your constitutional rights?
Well, you know, I think we've been more than patient with
you. Did you take an oath to uphold my constitutional rights?
I think that I'm not a lawyer, as you say, and all I know is...
Well, there you go.
Well,
and before you start down that road, if there's doubt, it would seem to me that the doubt would go to the free and natural person. And surely, you know, you got a wife and kids, you got a house, you got mortgages, you got bills to pay. You really want to jump out there and start behaving in a manner absolutely contrary to your sworn oath of office over something that you don't have a clear understanding of going in?
Mr. Quigley, please stand up and put your hands behind your back.
You got it, boss.
All right, Mr. Quigley, you're being placed under arrest for failing to sign a ticket when requested to do so. It's a lawful. You're essentially obstructing an officer in the performance of his duties. Mr. Quigley, step over to the van.
Sure.
And there you go. All right, well, thank you very much, and I'm sure you'll have your day in court.
Yeah.
Now, aren't you supposed to be saying at this point, take me to a magistrate?
No, it's a misdemeanor.
I see. So once it's a misdemeanor, you don't ask to be taken to a magistrate.
If they want to charge you with a misdemeanor, they can arrest you any fucking time they want.
I see. So it only applies as long as they're still working on the infraction crime.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have to prepare to defend yourself against obstructing an officer, right?
Okay. In a performance of a lawful duty.
And my lawful duty, Mr. Quigley, was to...
I don't know. We'll have the whole thing on tape, you know, and we'll have him lying. Not a promise to appear. That ticket's not a promise to appear. That ticket's a criminal complaint.
And
at least that's the way it's treated. The court's going to treat it when they get it.
And this, of course, gets to another issue, which is a question of an affirmative complaint. And I guess we can talk about that in our next analysis.
Whatever you like.
Yeah, that's something I'd like to get into with you, but I think it really was quite...
Do I get to do my disclaimer, Robert?
Please.
Oh, none of this is intended as legal advice. I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not allowed to give legal advice. I'm simply explaining my understanding of the law, teaching, if you will.
And I think it's quite a lesson. It's interesting. I mean, it does, of course, whole process that you've been explaining. You've been talking about what you do if you are being approached with an infraction crime and directed to sign a ticket, and the response, in essence, is... Take me to a magistrate if you want to have that issue resolved. I'm not going to resolve it here. I will resolve it in front of a magistrate.
Yeah.
But then at any point, the police can simply say, no, this is now a misdemeanor. You're obstructing an officer. And then you kind of, you lose that defense. But you have the defense, I guess, of eventually a public defender and a jury trial on the contest.
Well, and you beat that, and then you get to go sue him for false arrest.
All righty.
And we'll be talking to the supervisor about why he didn't arrest the officer for violating my rights. We got all kinds of stuff.
Well, I like the sound of it all. I don't know. I'm kind of trying to decide if I would want to use that tonight, if that comes up, even though they don't have the process in place, because I might anyway just decide to do it at our protest coming up today at 2 o'clock. If we do end up sleeping out tonight, I may just give this take me to a magistrate deal a try. It sounds interesting.
Well, except, like I told you, it's not in place yet.
Well, the law is in place, right?
Well, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, so what it means, in essence, is I have to be prepared to stay in jail for a couple of days. And that's...
Well, Robert, don't we live in that land?
Well...
If you're not prepared to go to jail for a couple of days at any given time of any given day, then you're not doing the work that you've been reputed as doing, you know? You stole somebody's reputation. You've been prepared to go to jail every day you've been involved with that, haven't you?
Well, sometimes I'm more prepared than others, I'll tell you. And in some cases, I do fudge on things because I think, do I want to spend the weekend in jail? And sometimes I say, no, I don't.
Oh, no, and I don't recommend anybody subjecting themselves to that unnecessarily. I spent 9 hours there one time, and it was all in one stretch. It's the longest stretch I've ever served in jail, which surprises just about everybody. But it was a long 9 hours for both of us, me and the jailer.
Mm-hmm.
They're real glad to see me go, but did I finally sign some paperwork and get out of there? Yeah. Did I end up being convicted of a totally bogus charge?
Which was?
Oh, driving while my license was supposed to be suspended, even though it's never been suspended. But because I signed out of that jail and allowed them to move forward with a hearing under their rules instead of holding fast, I ended up being convicted on 3 counts of driving with my license suspended, and my rights were disregarded through that entire trial, starting with the one of being taken to the magistrate. And if I had not signed out of that jail and wrote it out for 72 hours and gone into court completely psychotic, there's no doubt in my mind that those convictions would not be on my record. So it was a terrible mistake for me to sign out. And I'm hard-pressed to believe that it will happen again.
And that's something that I want to take up with you in a future interview about the wisdom of signing out of jail, which is sort of the next step in this take me to a magistrate, if they're, of course, not taking you to a magistrate and insisting that you simply, you know, book in and book out and that sort of thing. We have been talking to activist Richard Quigley, and this is quite a handful to kind of wrap your mind around, and I appreciate your introducing us to it again, Richard, and giving us, I don't know if any of us could speak in the way you do, because you have your own unique style and your own unique spirit, but it shows, I think, what can be done, and I thank you for coming on Free Radio and giving us how to deal with and how to use the take me to a magistrate defense when an officer comes up and tries to charge you with an infraction and get you to sign a ticket.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add on any other topics that you think might be of interest to our audience?
Just basically don't ever refuse. No matter how much the cop lies, don't ever allow yourself to be accused of refusing to do anything. And it's when they charge you, when they accuse you of that, you need to get rather indignant. I mean, you really do. And I don't mean rude or loud or abrasive, but I mean your status. Your status, according to law, is that of a free and natural person. And unless you're interfering with somebody else directly, man, nobody has a right to interfere with you. And your status is something that you have to fight to maintain. They will not stand aside unless you demand it. And there's a lot of court cases out on that. They ultimately refer to that state of mind as the belligerent claimant.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't. The law doesn't guarantee rights to people that are ignorant of the rights, and it doesn't guarantee rights that won't fight for them. It doesn't guarantee rights to anyone except that man that stands there and demands his rights from the gate. And so you have to. And just like that cop will stand there and apologize because he's just got to do what he's got to do, you got to apologize and just explain it. You got to do what you got to do. and it ends up being whatever it is when the courts get done with it. But it's the only way. It's the only way I know of that it's ever going to be held back and maintained at a civil level. I will advise you that with this Supreme Court decision, my friend, they can start to arrest, and don't you be surprised to see the city of Santa Cruz adopt a "you may arrest these people" ordinance on these infractions that, that have heretofore been infraction non-arrestable offenses.
And then we'll just have to start doing this process in greater numbers, won't we?
Well, and unfortunately, we're going to have to go all the way back to those morons that wrote Atwater.
The Supreme Court you're talking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to go back to them and say, now, did you really mean that the Fourth Amendment could not protect me from this behavior?
I guess we'll find out.
But I can assure you, the next case on that subject that gets to that level will be a California case, because this state is committed to that police state mentality like they belong to another country. California is just a pathetic excuse for itself.
Richard, you are not a pathetic excuse. You are a ringing endorsement, and I want to thank you for being here on Free Radio Santa Cruz today.
My pleasure. Anytime, Robert.
Thank you. And lines are open if you'd like to be... Lines are open. We're having a little problem with our mic here. Is our problem. Whoa, mic problems. Testing. I'm not getting much of a reading here on this. Hope that you can hear this. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM here in Santa Cruz. And you're tuned to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. Now it'll, from the Rage Against Rent rally from about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Check it out.
April 8th, 2001, on the beach flats, walking past the decimated lot where on once sat the Rex Court. It's around 5 after 3. We're approaching Beach Flats Park, right across from the Dolphin. And it's the day of the Rage Against Rent rally, sponsored by SCAN. Becky estimated 30, I estimated 75. Scott Kennedy speaking, and apparently closer to Becky's estimate than to mine. And Christopher Crone is hanging out. Kids are on the swings. It's too cold at 204, says one of the signs. High rent sucks, says another. Slumlords suck. And here's Bob LaMonica. And Charlie Phillips, Ruth Hunter, Paul Brindell. Hey, hey Bob.
You're late, Robert.
Is everybody come and gone? What have I missed?
You're expected. You've been
really?
Expected.
Really? So the people in St. Norris. Hey, there's the mayor over there.
It's like moving away from you, see.
I want to thank just by
moving away.
Tony and the others have done so much good work.
And then on the stage, we have someone with the sign Rent Rape.
For hosting this rally. Thank all of you for putting up with my comments.
Don Burke, the man who doesn't answer my emails or phone calls.
I just came back yesterday.
Oh, welcome back. Good to see you.
Good to be back in the land.
Always a pleasure. Tony Madrigal is speaking.
When I say rent, you say raise. Rent.
Raise.
When I say lower, you say rent. Lower.
Rent.
When I say rent, you say control. Rent.
Control. Control.
When I say change, you say now. Change.
Change.
Well, I'm not sure. I missed some of that. We're trying to do a little chanting here, but Don, you got to be in with the spirit of this thing.
When I say I'm not, you say alone. I'm not.
Don is
speechless.
Not. Speechless. Thank you. Steve, argue. You got a flyer there. What does it say? Let's get some of these flyers here.
When I say we, you
high rent tickets.
We.
This is great.
We.
You see this?
When I say we, you say right.
Nice flyer.
Clear. When I say we work, you say day and night. We work.
Lots guys.
We work.
Yeah. Way cool, man.
You don't want it.
John,
oh, I'm going to have... No, I didn't. He did, actually. I'm going to take... Can I get a bunch of these?
A few yeah, of them. I don't have... This is all I have, and I don't have money around.
Oh, okay. Well, just a couple. I'll make some more later.
Although,
Yeah, makes
I have
it more
the original.
I just want you guys to know.
Come out better from.
Mr. Victor
okay.
Rodriguez.
I see. Nick Whitehead, Ed Davidson.
Mr. Victor Rodriguez.
A smattering of people, certainly. Looks like 10, 20, 30, at least 50 people here. Let's not underestimate it. Any comments, Steve?
Well, it's an interesting and contradictory action here, organized by Santa Cruz Action Network, dealing with rent, mainly specifically dealing with one landlord who doubled the rents and who the city actually took some action against. But at the same time, what a lot of people are looking for is rent control and some across-the-board things that people really need here in Santa Cruz. And none of the politicians who are getting up and speaking are talking or addressing that on city council.
So politicians have spoken here? Or?
Scott Kennedy just spoke, and we also had Tim Fitzmaurice. These are two people who've taken no action for rent control, and it's pretty hypocritical for them to be pretending that they're enraged about rent and here for a rent rage rally. We need action for rent control. That's what this action on April 29th at 2 o'clock at the clock tower is going to be about. We're going to be demanding rent control, rent rollback, and an end to the sleeping ban. And these are all connected issues dealing with housing here in Santa Cruz, which none of these politicians, many of which have been endorsed by SCAN, will take any action on.
So did...
Unless we put the pressure on them to take the action.
Did Tim Fitzmaurice say anything about rent control? Did the words escape his lips? Or?
No. No. He,
how about Scott Kennedy?
Scott Kennedy, neither. One thing Fitzmaurice said is what he regularly says when a reporter asked him about rent control. He asked if he could say something off the record, which the reporter said, yeah. And he said, well, when you start talking about rent control, then the landlords start raising the rent. So that's why he's not talking about rent control.
We've heard that before.
Yeah, but you got to talk about rent control in order to ever get rent control. So, and with it, a rent rollback or rent freeze for a period of time, because rents are way too high. I mean, we're really being gouged here in Santa Cruz. So,
come on April 29th?
Come on April 29th and... And don't believe these politicians when they pretend to be progressive, when they pretend to be for renters, when they pretend to be for homeless. It's all a charade. We need real action in the streets to oppose them, not to schmooze with them.
Thank you. Your name, sir?
My name's Ralph, and the reason, one of the reasons the rent's so high is because of the camping ban. A lot of people would couldn't afford the rent and would choose to camp out if it wasn't for the camping ban. And housing's nice, but why not put a collar on the landlords? Why should the government and the taxpayers line the pockets of greedy landlords and greedy bankers the way they do instead of putting a collar on them?
Are you yourself a man outside?
What?
Are you outside yourself?
We live in a mission right now. We live in a homeless shelter. We were paying $190 a week for a place that was a total dump. And we just couldn't afford it anymore. We got too far behind. I was working 40 hours a week and still couldn't afford the rent. It was ridiculous.
You know, there's the mayor right there. You might want to tell him the words rent control do not escape his mouth, and he also favors keeping the sleeping ban. So he might be a person you might want to talk to. The fellow with the gray hair.
Think it will do any good?
Well, I think everybody who speaks to him may make a difference to some extent. I mean, I think he'll probably dismiss what you say, but I think he has to hear it.
Okay.
There's another council member, the chunky fellow, who doesn't favor ending the sleeping ban. You can talk to him about that, too. His name is Scott.
Okay.
Anna. Tony is translating Chris Krohn's speech. Has Chris mentioned the dread words rent control yet or not?
I don't believe he has.
For some reason, they seem to be avoiding that subject.
Continue your great agitation and bring it up, man.
What's the Spanish for rent is what? ¿Cómo se dice en español?
Renta control. I don't know the word.
We need a good language.
Yeah, it's on the back, I think. One of these signs has it on it.
Pagamos mucha renta, rent control now. Maybe it's on the back of Tony's sign there. Aha! Bill, what news?
Too many people there.
I'm sorry, say this again.
He tried to say that the River Street shut. He said that the
River... You just talked to a council member. Scott Kennedy, the chunky
fellow? Yes, I did. He said that the River Street shelter was a disaster and there was too many people there. And there
Coral
was,
Street open air shelter, he probably...
Yeah, the Coral Street open air shelter was a disaster and there was too many people there. And I asked him about more funds for security there. And he said no, or he just refused to answer me, you know. And he claimed that housing was the only answer. He claims that there's no nobody's come up with him with a feasible or open air shelter plan, which I doubt very seriously.
He's wrong. I know that in 1997 he was presented with just such an official plan by a paid project activist with the Community House Project, the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, and he just dismissed it out of hand. He actually commissioned it. He asked that it be put forward. It was called Safe Haven. His name is Scott Kennedy. He's a council member who has just been reelected, much to our misfortune. I see the mayor seems to have taken a powder here. Maybe he heard you talking to Kennedy and got out quickly.
Well, that's what he did. He refused to speak, to say anything. He just stood in the background, and as soon as Scott Kennedy finished talking to me, he said that he had to be at an appointment at 3:30, and him and the mayor walked out.
A very
fast.
Important appointment, I can see.
Yeah. Yeah, he just basically handed me a bunch of, I don't know if you want to record this, basically he handed me a bunch of bullshit and left.
Well, that's pretty standard for the shitty council, as we call it.
Yeah, I guess. No wonder you call him the shitty council. That's I've said about everything I can think of that really has merit, you know.
If you'd like to come on free radio, we invite you on Thursdays at 6 o'clock. You want to come and talk in person. Although I'll play this tape.
Okay, Thursday at 6 o'clock?
Okay, I'll
housing and subsidized housing, the new project on Dolphin and What I want to focus on directly is this sign right here. I'm curious, this is why I wanted to ask Chris, Christopher Crone, why, we're looking at a demand for rent control, and to me that means legislation. And so I want a realistic forecast. You know, when are we going to see this legislation? When are we going to see some action in the council that means actual rent control, something that landlords will be forced to abide by? And I think it's necessary that we go with both ends. We build low-income units and keep that, the 25% is a good number, but...
Te quiero preguntar al señor Christopher Crone y a muchos miembros del Consejo Municipal, ahí viene el señor Christopher, que, por ejemplo, tocante al tema este del control de la renta, esto es una ley. Necesitamos hacer una ley, es lo que significa este letrero. Un ley de control de renta. Y yo siento que necesitamos hacer las dos cosas. Hacer más viviendas, es decir, construir más viviendas para personas de bajos recursos, y también necesitamos pasar esta ley de control de renta. Y yo quiero preguntarle al señor Christopher Crone, que es uno de los diputados aquí de la ciudad, un político, que él me diga realísticamente si él cree que esta ley se puede pasar, por qué no ha pasado esta ley, qué es lo que él, cuál es su predicción, qué es lo que él ve en el futuro.
I think talking from sort of the heart, from where I'm coming from, people seem depressed to me about the future, or at least the our rent control past here in Santa Cruz.
Hablando del corazón, yo francamente creo que las personas me hablan a mí y las personas se sienten realmente deprimidas cuando se ponen a hablar del control de renta, porque el control de renta en la ciudad de Santa Cruz no ha tenido un pasado, una historia muy exitosa, que digamos.
I guess, well, we lost two or three times at the ballot in Santa Cruz, it was over 18, 20 years ago.
Desde más de hace como unos 18, 20 años quisieron pasar el control de renta en la ciudad de Santa Cruz y perdió. Perdió en la balota cuando fueron todo el mundo a votar, la ciudad, las personas aquí de Santa Cruz, todos los votantes votaron en contra del control de renta. Y eso ocurrió, él me dijo que dos veces, perdió dos veces en dos campañas distintas. El alcalde me dijo que ha perdido tres veces en la ciudad de Santa Cruz. No se ha podido pasar una ley que exija que pase una ley de control de renta. Y yo nomás le quiero agregar que yo creo que si todos nos hacemos ciudadanos y los que ya somos y empezamos a votar, yo creo que eso lo podemos cambiar, porque la raza de allá del West Side, de otros lados, ellos votan, y ellos votan en contra del control de renta, porque la mayoría de las personas que vienen de aquel lado son dueños de casas. Ellos son los que rentan a ustedes, le rentan a ustedes, ¿no? Y a personas. Y ellos votan en contra de ellos, porque ellos son la mayoría y ellos votan. Las personas de aquí casi no votan, y yo simplemente les quiero agregar que si se molestan con ir a votar, con hacerse ciudadanos, ese es el poder.
We went through 8 years of Pete Wilson, and I also think that he basically gutted the rent control initiatives that were working in Santa Monica, in Berkeley, and I think it was a major setback for progressives and for rent control movement.
Por ejemplo, también tuvimos que tolerar again, y sufrir 8 años
placing the blame elsewhere instead of talking about the city council's failure to put forward. Put forward a new rent control law, even though there is a statewide vacancy decontrol measure that weakens rent control statewide. City Council can still put forward a just renter protection ordinance. It has numerous alternatives. Crone has done absolutely nothing around this, and instead he's passing the buck to the state.
Ciudades que tenían leyes de control de renta, él como quien dice pasó con su poder, él pasó leyes que básicamente deshicieron esas leyes de control de renta. Eso también es otro de los motivos por cual no se ha podido pasar una ley de control de renta aquí en Santa Cruz.
He passed what was called vacancy decontrol, so when somebody moves out of an apartment, the landlord could put the rent up as much as they want.
Lo que él hizo es que él hizo.
Again, this is true, but again, the city council can put into place restrictions so that while the tenants are in the apartments, rents stay controlled.
Llega una vacancia, cuando hay un vacante. Lo que quiere decir eso es que, por ejemplo, si este joven paga si hay un control de renta que dice que no le puedes subir que más de $1,000, la ley cambió que dice que en cuanto él se salga, ya le pueden subir. Entonces eso básicamente le da permiso a todos los dueños de que suban la renta en cuanto se salga alguien, y eso como quien dice deshace o anula la ley de control de renta.
So to answer Sam's question, I do think there's several things the council can do to address renters the bad times that renters are going through in Santa Cruz, and I think the more, you know, there's several things even leading up to rent control that we passed. As I mentioned before, about when you have to leave an apartment, you can go from 30 days, you can make it 60 days, you can make it 90 days. So I do want to say that, again, I'm re-emphasizing this, I really mean this sincerely, that when the folks here are leading, I think the council is right now in a position to follow. So I think that the council, there is talk on the council, people have spoken about this, but I don't think any council member is going to bring it forward until they're sure they have solid support, solid, you know, very up to date. Where the students are at, where the unions are at. I think today we know where Beach Flats is at, and we also know from our own experiences on the council where Beach Flats is at. I think the council does want to do the right thing, and I just implore you all to lead us to do that.
Y les quiero simplemente reiterar que
and
yo
of
creo
course,
que
this
realmente
is Crone saying, I won't lead, you
antes,
must do it for me before
si
we can even bring such a measure to forward. You can compare this with Councilmember
si
Chris Worthington in Berkeley, who brought forward a resolution saying that it should be the lowest priority of the Berkeley police to enforce laws that criminalize sleeping. And that, with some modifications and some weakenings, actually passed. And he didn't need every union in town to back him. He didn't need the entire Beach Flats to back him. He didn't need everybody in the world before he would get off his butt and introduce something. But unfortunately, Councilmember Crone seems to require that kind of assurance.
Para que la gente tenga más tiempo de, como quien dice, de prepararse para recibir el golpe económico, ¿no? Y yo creo que si ustedes todos se unen y seguimos en la lucha, realmente podemos hacer algo por las personas de aquí de Beach Flats. Yo creo que necesitamos saber si vemos que hay un grupo, una coalición con raza de aquí, raza de allá de otras viviendas, las uniones, y este otros grupos políticos y vemos que hay mucho apoyo y que este grupo es un grupo poderoso con muchísimas personas que tienen este
again, this is all being
que tienen este
Tony Madrigal,
que saben todos los
who is
este,
a
los
man who is pushing the Dolphin Lee project. He's kind of a looks like a politician in grooming. He's a fellow with the business suit you see coming up with the Latino tenants at oral communications every week or two at City Council.
Okay, let's go.
Vámonos. Lo que vamos a hacer es que todo el mundo vamos a agarrar un letrero y nos vamos a ir marchando allá hasta el frente del 204 Riverside y este y nos vamos a ir gritando y diciendo este dichos y cual. Everybody grab a sign, everybody come up here and grab a sign. Any sign. Here, you want to grab this one? Oh, right on.
Uno para usted. Got a sign with a stick, because I need a sign with a stick. How about that one? All right, so here we are. We're about to take off on a rent rage. Rage at City Council. Make them get rent control. See? Diga al Consejo de la Ciudad, controla de rentas. Hey, how are you?
Pretty good, yourself?
Good. You need obviously a new street shit sheet. There you go.
Okay, I do.
And you also need one of these exciting flyers.
Okay.
You can find one.
Lack of money through the ball, yeah, that's right.
Damn right.
George, rent stabilization board or an entirely different vision? I mean, where do you see the obstacles? What, you know,
the obstacles are decontrol, vacancy decontrol. I mean, that's a major obstacle that they can just, you know, when anyone leaves, and then so people are sometimes chained to their apartments and they can't leave or they feel like they can't leave because they're going to have to pay more somewhere else if they leave, and then the rent landlord can, you know, raise the rent.
Sure. Well, so there's also this issue of is it going to be a freeze? And if we froze it right now, that would probably screw most people because we're at a climax period. Or is it going to be something where we set an entirely new structure and end up lowering a lot of present rents? And would that even be possible in terms of the state legislation for these kind of issues?
I think we can have sort of a rent stabilization. I don't think you're going to get real rent control until you get a state initiative.
Uh-huh.
It's got to be something that the people vote for statewide and rolls back with where the legislature and what the governor through that whole legislation has done to sort of gut
right.
You know, real rent control.
Yeah, because
any kind of even. I think there's some problems even in Berkeley and Santa Monica, but I do think I know enough people in those towns as well as San Francisco and New York where rent control has worked for a lot of people.
It may have worked for a lot of people, but the question is, why isn't Christopher Crone bringing it up at City Council? Why didn't he support Bob LaMonica's Simply Advisory initiative 2 years ago? Why has he refused to speak out on this? Now, Crone is himself a small landlord, but he seems to be in favor of rent control, but he wants everybody else to do this work for him. He wants to task everything out to people instead of doing his job as City Council member. This, of course, has been the classic approach of Crone and others and this new pseudo-progressive coalition, the pseudo-progressive group that has been running City Council actually since 1983, but with changes of personnel, we thought we had a new group in 1998. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz in Santa Cruz. This is Bathrop Spears Broadsides, the last 5 minutes, and we're inviting you to come on down to the town clock where there's going to be pizza. You heard me, pizza, compliments of the cheeky chalker James Ney from his pizza perch up in Felton. He's going to be bringing down pizzas. We're also going to be having some nice hot vegan soup from India Joe Schultz. That'll be coming a little bit later. And some really hot rhetoric and hopefully maybe even some hot action from the people there on what is a beautiful sunny day at the town clock at a rage against rent too, a real rage, not just a orchestrated city council rage to support their particular pet project in the beach flats, but a real rage against rent at the town clock at 2 o'clock. So come on down, be a part of this whole process, and give a call to HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. You can also call that number for updates on different meetings that are happening. There are two relatively low-key groups. One is the Monday morning group, That's meeting Monday morning, tomorrow at 8 o'clock. They'll be at the Homeless Services Center talking with the city council. Good luck with that group. But on the other hand, I want to tip my hat to them by saying that they did email the Berkeley City Council, which changed the law, I should say, which changed the Berkeley police policy. They didn't change the law on enforcing the state codes, which are used by the police in Berkeley, or more often by the UC Berkeley police, to harass homeless people for sleeping. That's 647J of the state code, the so-called anti-lodging law. Now, of course, they have to go after the use of other code sections, and for some reason that was removed from the final version of that thing that happened in Berkeley. But hopefully, you know, we can put that back in. There's actually, I understand, as of yesterday, a sleep out that developed in connection with students around its either Underwood or Underhill parking structure, where there's a joint concern of students to stop the expansion of the university and to stop sleeping ban enforcement in Berkeley. And that's been happening as direct action, and that kind of direct action, I think, is what's really fueling the, it's putting the City Council of Berkeley on the spot and making them take action, which, of course, is what we need to do here in Santa Cruz. You are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 98.6, no, that's another one, it's 96.3 here in the, that seaside capital we love so well. Boy, you can come and hear me make a few more fumble bumbles at the town clock. I'm going to be speaking there sometime between 2 and 4, and I will be there, no doubt, chowing down with some pizza. I could use a little of that. I haven't even had breakfast, so come join me there at the clock for the Rage Against Rent 2 and the Rage Against the Sleeping Ban today. If you want to be with me again on the air, give a call at 423-HUFF. If you want to actually be a guest, if you want to just listen in, it'll be happening Thursday from 6 to 8 in the afternoon. That's in 3 days, 4 days, early May. We'll be getting into it. Do join us. There'll also be a new issue of the Street Shit Sheet out in a couple of days. Give a call to 423-HUFF if you're interested in that. And thank you for being with us on this edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. It's been fun having you, even though we haven't gotten much in the way of phone calls. Let's see if we can wind this up with a song or two and move right along. We'll have another kind of reprise from Carol Denny in her new album, The Rich Will Never Be Poor. I like this one.
As certain as the sun will rise and politicians have lying eyes, as sure as suffering multiplies, the rich will never be poor. As certain as in life you learn, the rich have money and time to burn, the rich will counsel you, wait your turn, in heaven you'll get some more. As sure as poverty plagues the land, the rich will give you a helping hand, as soon as mountains return to sand and oceans leave the shore. Count on nothing in life so well, that if the rich go straight to hell, lots are something they buy and sell, they'll never enter the door. Clearly all that you need in life to be at peace in a world of strife, the company of a man or wife and lots of money in store. Life is simple and so complete, with faithful friends and some bread to eat, a solid roof and a room with heat and stocks and bonds galore. The rich will probably tell you nay, it's inner riches that really pay. The rich have always got lots to say as they watch their assets soar. Count on nothing in life so plain, the poor have water, the rich champagne, the market rises to this refrain, the rich will never be poor, the rich will never be poor. As sure as life life is a strange affair in need of some robust repair. The rich don't actually have to care. The rich will never be poor. Maybe people are all the same, but the rich are playing a different game. You take your chances and take your aim. You'll never even the score. The rich can't help it if life's unfair. The richer people, they really care. They often mention it's hard to bear. They're burdened at their core. Some say no, but it's plain to see the rich are different than you and me. The rich are different as they can be. The rich will never be poor. The rich will never be poor. The rich will never be poor. The rich will never be poor.
That language gets more abstract when the picture goes out of it. See, what music does is create more of a picture, more of an image. See, for instance, you don't have to have, what do you call it, lyrics to have sad music. You know, you don't have to have lyrics to have happy music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So music has an imagination, an imaginative aspect that then, with the words, you know, gives those words a